Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, shalom, hello everybody. Happy Sunday, shalom everybody. I said that already, right? Yeah, so this is Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. It is Sunday, my name is Ilan Azulay and I'm your host. And we are here every Sunday and hopefully every day too, as we practice it every day, to reclaim our power. To reclaim our power, to see our gifts, to see our value, to see how we can move from one place to the other, from a place of confusion or from a place of lack of focus or an emotive state, an emotional state that is really taking us sometimes out of focus. And I'm a spiritual mentor and a coach and a empowerment speaker for women who are ready to reclaim their power. This is an interesting time, interesting times that we're living in. And not to say that other times where people lived in was not interesting, but this is actually seeing a lot of shifts that are happening. A lot of shifts in awareness, in consciousness. Before we continue, I'll give you the phone number here. It's 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And if you are feeling compelled to call, to share, talk about anything that helps you move towards your goal, move towards coming out of a certain state, being unstuck, if you will. And we're all going through that. We're just going through that in different times, different stories. And what we receive, what we experience, we're either taking with us or not, or repeating the same story. And many times we repeat things that doesn't serve us. Why? Because you're familiar with it. Because you're familiar with it, you go to the same place of appears to be comforting, but it's really just in the short run. So we'll start first with this beautiful disposition, beautiful placing ourselves in a state of giving and being in a place of love, and that is Hareini Mekabel Al Atzmi Et Mitzvat Aseh Shel Ve'Ahavta Le'Re'acha Kamocha. And I hereby accept on myself the due commandment of love your friend, neighbor, person in front of you in the same way that you express love to yourself and you feel love to yourself. So again, the focus is on us first. You know, it's like the remember when I don't know when it was changed or when it was implemented in this format, but when you go when you take a flight, right, and the airline attendants are playing out sometimes, singing sometimes, you know, the safety rules of flight, and they say, you know, always put on you the mask first. Always put on you the mask first and then attend to others. So it's interesting. I mean, if you have any experience with that and you felt triggered by that and you felt that that's not fine and that's not okay and why to do that, write, let me know, give me a call. Skype number is LA Talk Radio. the Skype username. But so here it is. So, and I would love to hear what you have to say, because it's you and you have to say it. But think about this. If, let's say, you're sitting with an older person by your side, or a kid, and from panic or what's happening, you attend right away to the kid. And if there is lust and pressure, or there is, and you respond to that and you faint or something is happening to you, then nobody will be able to take care of either of you. So it's really for us first, so we can be for others. So I remember, you know, some people approached me and said, or we were talking about this, so it completely, oh, how can you do such a thing? It's egoistic. It's, you're not taking care of the child. You have to show the love to the child. And I understand where all this is coming from. But there is a bigger, a wider gamut of seeing things, because if we won't be able to get you on a good path, you being in a healthy spot, if you cannot be in a healthy spot where you can shine, or where you can give from abundance and give from a place of not feeling guilty and not giving from a place of expecting something in return, then you are able to really give and affect that person that is receiving. Because receiving is also an act, right? It's just like receiving is also an act, just like giving. There has to be a receiver to be a giver. Same thing, like we are in this existence, in this universe. We are created by an infinite light, the massive amount of. I heard this yesterday in a talk, in a TED talk, that it was the amount of energy spent in the amount of energy spent in the world for a year. Anything, cars, anything, energy, anything moving, anything is the same amount of energy that we get from the sun over 2 hours. So take that all combined. And the reason I'm saying that is because we are here created in a certain, in this humanoid experience, in this physical body experience. And so we contain that energy, but not to that magnitude, not to that amount, because then our body would just disintegrate, wouldn't be able to hold that energy. And within that are all these gifts and all these paths that are leading your way to wherever you are supposed to go. But sometimes we don't see the entire journey, or actually we never see the entire journey until we get close to it. We can plan. We can make plan from here till tomorrow. We're never going to know really what is the outcome. The outcome is really not up to us. But this is, I'm coming a little ahead of myself. But before that, to come to this place of being content in where you are and feeling this abundance that is flowing upon you, it is really to start breaking down all those patterns many times that are entrapping us, that are entrapping and putting in a trap, like in a box. And this is what you're familiar with. This is how you respond. This is how you react. And that's what you know. And that's it. And if you don't know it, or if it's going to shake your belief about something, you know, it can be very scary for some people. Because this is the only experience This is the only type of story, type of understanding that they kept with. There is no good or bad here. There is just, this is one person and this is the other person. So, looking at slowly finding those little holes of lights in us that are, that have been covered by all this junk, by all the stories, by all these beliefs, by all these doubts, by all these things that we thought are who we are. And yes, I'm coming to a place of an open heart, coming to a vulnerable place many times. And it's unfortunate we say that it's like that, but many times this is what will cause a change. A trauma will cause a change. Somebody has to really hit rock bottom to shift, to create a shift. It's like going into the heart of, it's like the heart of the nucleus, just like creating a shift from the bottom of you, really. And the only way to get to this place many times is when we experience tragedy, or when we experience events that are sending us to a loop. Or, you know, if you are going through a divorce or separation, or you have a hard time in your relationship or marriage, or it's really hard to go into those. It's very easy to separate, to disintegrate it. It's very easy to get up and say, oh, I'm leaving. Oh, I'm gone. I see this here with people that I meet. I know I've acted like this in the past. When we don't want to deal with something, we rather go around it, around the mountain, than going through the mountain. Because it's hard. But that is where our challenge is. And that is where the opportunity is that I've been talking about this in other times. The opportunity that lies in each and every step that we take. In each and every step that we take, what's the opportunity? What's the opportunity for what? What's the opportunity for us? For us to be better. What's the opportunity for us to grow? For us to go from point A to point B. From us to go from that level in that computer game that we completed that level. Okay, now we're ready to move on. So we have all these gifts that are channeled down through to us to be in this existence. And that's a whole we can talk about. I'll talk about this another time, about the contraction of our of the light to come into the body. But with that are all the gifts that we have, and the biggest of them is the gift of giving. Now, when I say giving, many, whoever is hearing this, may have some connotations of what giving is. Maybe somebody has a trauma event from giving. Everybody has something going on. But really think about, try to bring yourself to a feeling where you met somebody and you fell in love. You know, the first few weeks or maybe months or year or 2 years, but really this time where many times when I hear people say that, I almost hear like, it's almost like a, like an excused relationship, like an excuse, meaning when somebody says, "Oh, I'm in love. I fell in love with somebody. I'm in love," and they say, "Oh, that's okay. It'll pass." You know, all this negativity. Sometimes you get, "Oh, you're just in love. It'll pass. Don't worry about that. You're just now in euphoria," and really, this is many times what's happening. But what is happening if you think about this? Being in, meaning in the space of love. So you ask yourself, well, is that really is that love? Well, it's a whole different story of what kind of a person you've attracted to yourself. But the feeling that you are experiencing, that feeling of expansion, that feeling of everything is possible, the feeling of you want to give your entire self and your family to the person that is in front of you. You don't judge because you are allowing things. You know, many times this can be also backfiring because many times you give up on things that are something that you are okay with or not okay with, and you just let that go. But the point is the fact that you are actually letting something go. Notice that when you are in love, when you are in a space of harmony, and it doesn't have to be necessarily only with somebody, but it's in a space, an expansion space of feeling gratitude and love, and you're expanding. So if you have somebody in front of you, you are in that space where there is no, you're not expecting anything in return, and you don't judge, and you give. And you are in this space of constant harmony. Now, again, if it's a good relationship, meaning for you, then it'll last. And if not, it'll pass. It depends where that place of choosing a partner came from. But in that space, what I want to focus is on that feeling that you are experiencing, regardless of whether it is good relationship, not good relationship, whether it is a right person for you or not right a person for you. Just that fact that that feeling is happening, that you are experiencing that feeling. Again, doesn't matter if it's a wound or not. Just that feeling is really a feeling of giving and harmony. So when you are in that space, you're not judging, you're not looking at just what is there and what is not possible. On the contrary, you're looking at only what is possible. You don't have any of that. You're just looking at what is possible with the other person that is in front of you, what is possible for you. You're lit up. You know, in our DNA, in our structure, we yearn to connect. It's imprinted in us. It's imprinted in us. It's imprinted in us to connect, to belong, to be part of, to be seen for what we bring, for what comes through us. And so when we are in that space, we're naturally just in a place of giving. We're naturally just in a place of receiving. We're naturally just in a place of being and experiencing the other. So when you are in the right relationship, that person, both of you, will empower the other person. Will empower the other person. There are many, many relationships that the exact opposite happens, where the person meets somebody that is in a, or somebody, one of the sides is in a vulnerable state, in a pattern state, and the other person is keeping them there. No, it is not okay. And also the other person who is doing that, the oppressor and the oppressee, are many times where are acting out of what they are familiar with until they wake up and they realize that they are in a place that doesn't serve them anymore. And up until that moment, you continue to play these roles of somebody who has a low self-esteem, somebody is doubting themselves, somebody that sees themselves or cannot look at themselves in the mirror. I've met those two. So, and really the bottom line is to be accepted, to come from a place of love. And the place of love is first and foremost from a place of giving, from a place of seeing the other side, seeing the other side that stands in front of you without relation to how it makes you feel, just the person that is in front of you, recognizing the person that is in front of you, seeing the good in them, and that means that you're seeing the good in you too. So first is you. First is to find that which doesn't serve you. First you find that which is not helping you anymore. It's taking you to places that is far from where you want to be or what do you want to express. So you don't go and change your dreams. It's changing the other. It's changing that connection and recognizing that this connection is not in a place that is helping you grow. That is not helping you grow. Just like I said the other time, you know, we can all see how many seeds are in an apple, but you don't know how many apples will come out of one seed. You don't know your power yet. You don't know the amount of effectiveness, the amount of change that by you coming to you, by you realizing, by you recognizing you, this is the best gift for the world. This is the best gift that you can do for your family, for your partner, for your girlfriend, for your wife, for your children, is seeing, is recognizing you, is recognizing your power. I remember I was going to share that, but I'll think about it maybe after the song. So this one is Looking for You by Karen Malka.
Shamela
Karen Malka, wonderful, wonderful singer. Looking for you. Maybe listen another song from her. We'll see. So, yes. So recognizing your gifts, recognizing yourself. So now you are. If you are in this space of procrastination, if you are in the space of vulnerability. Procrastination is also vulnerability. You know, it's not, it's really thinking about wanting to do something, but really not doing it. And this is wonderful things that have been happening in the few weeks for me. It's recognizing those things and seeing it in the other people, recognizing those moments that you just need to flip the light switch. You can, you know, it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done, but you know, the more we think about it, the more we get stuck in the thought of doing it, but not really doing it. So you are in a place. If you are in that place for whatever and ever any issue, it doesn't have to be. It could be work. It really just shows a deeper thing that is really almost like a silver lining between different stories and different areas in your life. And with women, it's more up on the surface, especially these times, and working with the feminine energy is, I believe, important, especially when the person is working with source of wounds to heal something or to go through something. So, for example, I mentioned a couple of times ago about a book by Toby Browning. How did the woman turn into a man? And you know, she's talking there about that the how many books really revealed how the society turned the women into victims in many ways. You know, for example, different cultures, different covers on the faces. The lack of the voting privileges, not taking part in religious ceremonies or some kind of political hierarchy, witchcraft. I mean, you know, it goes on until today. You know, until it's not. So what is? So really, what was happening? Really, there was going on fear. Fear by whom? Fear by the patriarchy. Fear by the masculine, fear by the place that it occupied our society. But for thousands of years, so there were tools to develop just like somebody is a prisoner that finds different tools and different ways to handle the imprisonment. And one of the tools that I see, and that some say, oh, this is a feminine characteristic, is manipulation. Now, We all tell stories here and there. We all kind of want to get what we want to get, and some of us are more advanced in this gain technique, so to speak, and some of us are not. But really the issue here is really that this was a tool that was developed really to handle and to maneuver through all this patriarchy thing. Leave it at that. So today it manifests in other ways. And so what is happening, and what I've noticed, and what she's also talking about in the book, but I've noticed here, especially in La La Land, is that the women are, not all of them again, not to make it, it's not everybody's like that, but it's there, and it's part of a growing thing because of the shift in consciousness, because of the shift in energy that is happening, and women are coming to their recognition of their own, of their divinity, of recognizing recognizing how things are, and recognizing that the feminine is much more powerful than the masculine, but not in a sense of a power, like an egoic trip. That's not the point. Kabbalah wise, spirituality wise, everything. And so, but what is happening is that the wound, so a woman that grows up today, many times, you know, there are sexual abuses and the Me Too campaign and are coming out, and it started way before the Me Too, but it's just bubbling up. It's just coming up. And so what is happening, many of the women have gone through a traumatic event, a traumatic experience with a man in their life, whatever that is. There'll be a close relative, a stranger, whatever that is. And there is a trauma, and it's a traumatic event, and that caused, as we say in Hebrew, a scratch, like a dent, almost like it created something that if you don't work on that, it's just going to be there, and the dent will fill in everything that fits that dent, you know, to take it away from an emotional association. Okay. Not to discredit the pain that goes with that, or not at all. It's just looking at it like a map, just looking at whatever is happening with you, whatever is happening to you or for you, everything that you perceive to be happening, just to look at it without an emotional attachment. And it's hard to look at it without the known reaction, the known knee-jerk reaction of, but this person did this to me, I can see this, or how can they do this to me, or how did they behave like that, or how did they? So the reason, this is what I'm hoping for you to look at in this fashion, in the fashion of intrigue. Being intrigued in how this process is affecting your life, how this process is affecting your perception, how this action, this act, this something that happened, how this is affecting the consequence, and is this a direct result? Is the consequence a direct result of this action? So I have a workshop on my website, and we go through all these steps and we go into more detail, but I really just want to touch on that and to see how is this fitting into what we started already here. So a woman grows up and she's experiencing several traumatic events, whether it's from father, from brother, from neighbor, from coworker, from, you know, film industry, we hear a lot of things that are happening, and the trauma doesn't have to happen only when you are a child. Of course, those are going to affect you for the long run, because it's going to take time until you recognize that. If you're going through a traumatic event now, it's painful, and you're going through everything now, meaning, let's say you are in a later age and can connect to the place of recognizing that everything is happening for a reason. So maybe there is there a little bit of ease. But as you grow, you're being shaped. We're being shaped by what our environment gives us. So you grow up, and instead of working on this wound and recognizing that there is first a wound, that there is first it always takes two to tango, that there is something in your space that is operating from a place of a wound. And if you have that, not everybody is going through the same stories or the same traumatic events, but it's like there is always somebody involved, somebody else that is involved in something that you believe caused you to feel a certain way. So there is the person in front of you. So the person in front of you did certain actions that caused you harm and caused damage. And what I've experienced is that when this is not being healed, when this is not being addressed, then the relationships that you form are going to be fulfilling and actually feeding that dent, remember? Fulfilling that wound. Fulfilling that need for, let's say, being taken care of or being with somebody 24/7 because you're not able to leave them because you're afraid that they'll leave. So you'll find somebody that will fulfill that need. So when you are in that space, you are in a certain energy. You attract what space you're in. So you will attract that who will feed that void, because that void is a void, and you're still not in a place of recognizing that you are just fulfilling a void. So it's translating. So many women that are not working on healing that masculine wound, it'll be translated into some kind of aggression. So for example, you know, there are many, not everybody again, but there are many women that I've seen created groups, goddesses groups, and empowerment for women. And this is all wonderful. This is what I do. This is what I love to do, is to bring all this to empower you, to empower woman, to empower the feminine, not on the expense. That's how it used to be until now. The masculine was empowered, self-empowered too, but it was always on the expense of the feminine, but it was always on the expense of her. For you to get stronger, I mean, the classic couple, you know, the man goes to work 10, 12 hours, the woman is at home taking care of the house, the children, the food, and now some would say, no, how can that be? We are all equal and stuff like that. Well, men and women are not equal. We're not built equally. We respond differently. Sometimes complete other side of the spectrum. So we're not here, we're not the same. Can we do the same things? Oh, absolutely. Can somebody do more than the other person? Than the other, let's say, gender or spiritual gender, if you will? Yeah, absolutely. There are some things that physically can be done in a certain way. Now, if we're going spiritually and going more into depth of Kabbalah and the Zohar and really how we are built, I mean, the female, the woman is way more advanced than the male. It took me many years to admit to say that, but it is what it is, right? It is what it is. But the thing is, what is happening, because the wound is not resolved, because the wound is not healed, and because the people that you attract to yourself are feeding that wound of, yes, men are like this, men are like that, then you're not healing. Then you're creating the same thing that was created by the masculine to the feminine because of other issues. So there is not, so it's what I call, it's going to the head. And I've been to that place many years ago. I've been in that place where it went to my head. It doesn't work. I've been to that movie before. The actor always dies at the end. It doesn't work. And so it's to recognize on both sides, not just on you, the woman, in you, but also in your partner. And if you feel that you are light years from your partner in the sense of that you cannot say it without him telling you, I don't know what you're talking about, you know, if something is, are you sick? If you get these responses, that means that the person that is in front of you is not on the same vibe, on the same energy, at least not at that moment. But, you know, that hints to other things. So are you on the same level? Are you on the same energetic level? And so this time is, I think I mentioned it once in one of the programs. There was this woman that that does healing here in LA, and she put an ad on Facebook that she's creating a woman's event, and the only males to be there are the man slaves that are covered with masks, and they're here to serve the women because we are goddesses. So, you know, having a party and everything is fine, you know, but for you to be in a place of maybe there is a wound there now, maybe there is something else to it. I have no idea, but I read the public description, so I'm only going by the public description. And so, and if you are hearing this, please call. Please. It is these kind of things that are an opportunity. I see these as an opportunity to step in and to bring other perception and to show that this is the exact pattern, that this is playing into the exact pattern of that which you are trying to escape from. And so all that we talked about today really is to recognize your space, your place. And this is, and you know, Friday I was in a great space. Friday, I did a video. Friday was in a great space. Was in Topanga Canyon. And you know what? I actually wanted to give the name there. That I went there. It's really a beautiful place. This is a place where it's called Jalan Imports. I think I'm pronouncing it right. It's a J. J-A-L-A-N. J-A-L-A-N. Imports. And it's in Topanga Canyon. It's in the 500 numbers. And they have... Yeah, there we go. It's 525 Topanga Canyon. And really, they have there... They have a lot of things that are made from woods and benches and meditation spaces and meditation benches and all kind of great space. But really what the whole thing is in such a great energetic space, and there is there a like a pond, but it's really a waterfall that comes from the rock above and really comes down. And you can see on the rocks, you can see all the signs from all the times, the years or whatnot, that the water made on the rocks. And you ask yourself the question, can would one if I if you know that water created these marks on the rocks, the question is one drop, does one drop matter? Does one drop matter? If you were just one drop, did that contribute to the signs, to the markings on the rock, in the rock? You bet it does. You bet it does. And your one action towards the goal will invite the universe to give you more abundance of that which you are doing. One action, one small action, just like the drop of water. You have to start with a small action. This is what got me many times out of situations, personal situations, is really not to look at the big picture. To know about the big picture. But just to do, can you do one step? Just one step. One thing. Do that. You do that, and then the universe opens up. You're starting to turn the wheels. So you have one action at a time. So one action at a time will bring another action. The action actually of the body, if you find yourself in a procrastination mode and you can't do that, just do something that takes you out of that mode. Anything physical. Anything physical, you go to the gym, you go out, you do something, you wash the house, you clean the house, you move. Anything. So anything that you do will start moving the entire energy that surrounds you, the entire energy that you are inhabiting from within. It'll start moving you around from within. So one step at a time is going to get you moving. Your body will move, will send signals to your brain. Your brain will go back and send signals to your body. Up and down and up and down, and there you go and you start moving. So, you, for you today, do something for you. Do something for you. Take care of yourself, just for you, for your enjoyment. It's the first step. Just first step, giving for your enjoyment. Do something for you, something that is bringing light and joy to your presence. And I will see you next week. And go to my new website is up. It's bodysoulsound.com, bodysoulsound.com. Or ilanazulai.com, we'll go to the same place. And really, I'm opening this alignment session. I created a 5-package alignment session that will be for the first women that will respond to the posting there on the site. And the session is up to an hour, and we can talk about that. And Facebook page is facebook.com/BodySoulSound. And here is another one from Karen Malka, Lady of the Forest. You have a wonderful, wonderful week. Create what you speak. Create what you desire. And I will see you next week. Bye-bye. Litaot. Mm-hmm.
You speak with Elon Azulay only on LA Talk Radio.